Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mehler here. Glad to be back after a week away. And thanks, big thanks to Judith Sears Poisson, our producer, who always does a wonderful job hosting the show while I'm away. Why was I away? Well, I'll tell you what, I was playing in a golf tournament in Saskatchewan. In a Lake Waskasu is the name of the course. It's an old Stanley Thompson course, and it was one of the great. He was one of the great golf course designers, and that's a course from the 1930s. And I had a lot of fun. And the reason I bring it up is because I had a perfect book to take along with me. The book is called or titled "Loopers: A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey." And so I had a lot of fun between rounds of golf reading the book, and written by John Dunn. And he's got a great collection of stories in his book, Loopers. And he joins us today from his, not from his studios, but from the studios of KPBS in San Diego, California. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Tell you what, I had a lot of fun last week. And I really enjoyed your book. As you, and I'm telling you, as you mentioned, I think a time or two in the book, anyone who's golfed has probably and worked with you has probably thought, oh man, wouldn't give for a summer like the summer you've had for 20 years.
Well, yeah, I guess it's been an endless summer when you look at it that way.
Well. It's you start the book with a quote from Caddyshack that uses the word loopers, and in fact, Judith posted online that little sequence from Caddyshack with Bill Murray talking about loopers, and that's where the name loopers or caddies came from, isn't it?
That's where I first heard it. A couple of the older guys, you know, when I was younger, told me that they'd heard it before, but I've never been able to verify that. So I'm going with Bill Murray.
Well, it's certainly worth a click. So as you're listening at some point today, go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show and click on that Bill Murray piece. It has to do with him caddying the Dalai Lama, and it is really. Really pretty funny. How did you first start caddying? Talk about that a little bit.
It's pretty typical, probably, of most caddies. I was 16 years old in Connecticut. In fact, the course that I worked at resembled Bushwood from Caddyshack to a T. So I had, you know, Judge Smales on a regular basis, or his, you know, doppelganger in Connecticut. But, you know, we made $12. This is back in the mid-80s. The bags, they didn't even invent the lightweight carry bag yet. So There were all those heavy leather Burton bags with the straps that we called piano wires because they were so thin and sharp into your shoulders. And, you know, we made like $12 a bag. And it was just a bunch of kids like me playing stickball in the parking lot and, you know, getting in fist fights and smoking cigarettes and things like that.
Yeah. And what was it that kept you in that life? I mean, most people was, all right, I've done this for a couple, 3 years. Now I'm going to go and do something else.
Well, that's the way I thought it was going to be for, you know, I know my father was hoping that was the way it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I caddied through high school and then through college and then even after college for a couple of years. And it was always, you know, I would say a summer job or you could say a bartending job. I've always called it my bartending job. After I was about 25, I had already begun to write. So I'd published my first article. It was embarrassing to even read now, but it was in, you know, the Connecticut Golfer magazine or something like that. And so I think I had grand ideas about eventually, you know, having writing be a full-time job. But they kind of went hand in hand. So even when I was writing for golf magazines like Travel and Leisure Golf and the Golfer magazines, I would caddy, you know, 8 months out of the year. And then I'd go on these trips sort of in 2 months in the fall, 2 months in the spring, and write about them in my free time. So it was my, you know, my moneymaker. It was my day job, so to speak.
Our guest today is John Dunn, author of Loopers, A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. Hope you'll join in. Have you ever golfed with a caddy? Have you ever caddied yourself? Those are a couple. I would love to hear from you and hear your experiences, or maybe just have some questions about caddies and what they're like and what they do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post a question there at the Larry Mueller Show, and certainly we'd love to hear from you. The typical, you know, there's a difference. I mean, we think about caddies. I think most of the people see, you know, if you watch golf at all on TV, there's caddies with the pros, and then you've probably caddied for some pros. I'm starting to remember if you I'm sure you have. And but mostly you caddied at for people who weren't pros, who were just out there to maybe members of a club or maybe just on a, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime trip somewhere for golf.
Yeah, there's a special place in my heart for all the hackers out there. that's my specialty, if you will. I've caddied for I've caddied for some pros. I've caddied for Nick Price, who's a a major winner, and I've caddied for some top amateur players. There's a story you might remember in the book in the second chapter, a Walker Cup champion. That was my experience caddying for a player who, you know, dots his I's and crosses his T's. And one of the reasons I decided to just continue to club caddy was I was, you know, obviously pursuing my own, as tepid as my pursuit was of professional writing, it was always there in my mind. And the idea of being completely, having my life completely absorbed by, I want to choose my adjectives here carefully, but, let's say slightly neurotic or, anal or whatever the words you use are to describe somebody of that caliber and that level. It's a very difficult job. You're constantly on eggshells. You know, your successes, your temperament is always pinned and attached to that player's success and temperament. And I preferred, honestly, I mean, I love being, you mentioned going this weekend and playing Stanley Thompson course. You know, one of my great memories is playing Highland Links out in Nova Scotia. And, you know, that's wonderful. Those are the types of experiences that I cherish. And being with people like you, you know, on those trips, those special places, like when I would caddy at Bandon Dunes or at St. Andrews, you know, the old course in Scotland, or, you know, Augusta National, when often I was caddying for guests who were, maybe it was their first time there. And they were so excited to be out there. I mean, you know, it was like the joy, and they didn't really even care. Like, you know, you used that quote in the beginning, a good walk spoiled. But these places are so beautiful, and these experiences are such a once-in-a-lifetime experience that, honestly, even if they didn't play well, it didn't spoil the experience, you know, because it's...
Well, it's unbelievable. And caddies, I've had some good and some probably not so good, but but they really, a caddy can make a wonderful experience. Although I think the first time I had a caddy, I was nervous about having a caddy.
I've heard that actually.
Yeah?
Someone asked me that recently in an interview. They asked me, give me some tips on how to not be nervous around a caddy. And I read a really funny article by John Updike once. He wrote about golf. I loved reading his golf stories. And he wrote about his obnoxious caddy who was trying to get a job from him the whole time. I think I've been there and done that.
Well, it's. I remember the first time I went through my bag and took out every extra ball and all the weight that I could get out of it because I didn't want the guy to lug around the amount of weight.
Well, that's very nice of you. You're in the minority, I think, on that one. I appreciate that.
Oh, boy. Well, you've as I looked at the course and read about the course that you caddied at, I thought, man, if I was going to sit down and write a list of the courses that I would love to play before I died, most of those courses would be on were courses that you've caddied. I mean, you've caddied at some of the most wonderful courses in the world.
Yes, thank you. you know, obviously that was part of the allure of caddying to me. I don't think I would have continued to do it if it had been just, you know, a single course in my hometown or something like that. And there are a lot of guys who do that, and, you know, great respect to them. Many of them are close friends of mine, still at, like, the Stanwich Club in Greenwich, where I caddied during college, Greenwich, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, at that point, it's really a job, you know. I mean, it's a wonderful job, but, you know, you're going every day to work at the same place for 20 years. The thing that was so attractive and romantic to me about the path that I chose was that, you know, I'd stay in places for maybe 2 years or 3 years. Sometimes I think four was the most I ever stayed. But there was always that hope, that unknown, that excitement about, you know, where was I going to go next? What was I going to choose next? And I never knew until kind of maybe 6 months before I did choose. But then I'd have my mind made up based on all the feedback I'd gotten from everybody, you know, coming and going from the yard. And I'd say, all right, well, this is where I'm going to go. And then I'd go.
Yeah. And for me, as I read that, I thought, oh, how can he be leaving Bandon Dunes, for example, to go on somewhere else? although you from Bandon Dunes, you went to the Old Course in Scotland. So I guess.
Yeah, well, that's how you do it, right? You pick a place equally amazing.
Oh, man. Our guest today, John Dunn, who is the author of Loopers, a Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. Great stories and in the book, and I really enjoyed reading it. It was perfect for me to have last week as I hacked my way around Lake Waskasoo Golf Course in a tournament. You, even if you don't golf, I think you'd have some fun reading this book. Rick and Madison, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you so much for this guest in this book. I feel like I'm making a confession here because my dad's name was John Dunn. And years ago, I mean, he died in 71, but...
I was born in 71.
Really? Well, you know what? I was kind of wondering if there wasn't something cosmic going on here, but I used to hate to caddy. I caddied at Maple Bluff, and there were lots of corporate executives there that had these, you know, felt like 200-pound bags at the time. And I was a little guy anyway. And so what I would always do, I would tell my parents I was going caddying, and then I would, after they went to work, I would come home and swipe their S&H green stamps out of the drawer and go cash in the books and come home with $5 in my hand. So I've always felt guilty about that. But as much as I hated, especially we always had the four caddy, and I had terrible eyesight, and I was always losing the ball. And so to, you know, have these guys come down and, you know, and just chastise you for losing their ball. And, you know, you only had one thing to do, and that was watch the ball. And I still would lose it. I think poor caddying is actually pretty challenging.
Well, yeah, you're Rick, thank you so much. You're sure, certainly right about that. And John, you've got some great stories about poor caddying in your book.
Yeah, I can sympathize with the caller for sure. Although the trauma, if you may remember, the most traumatic forecatting that I experienced was out in Hollywood when I had to race the carts running because they had these souped up carts. I mean, if you haven't seen one of these things, it's almost impossible to describe. You know, the way I describe it in the book, it reminded me of Rodney Dangerfield's golf bag in Caddyshack, you know, with the stereo system and the bar and everything. Except it's a cart that goes like, you know, 30, 40 miles an hour. And they expect you to run and keep ahead of these carts. And it becomes almost, you can sort of see the sadistic glee kind of in the members' eyes, you know, making their caddy run like a track star around the course.
And you had a funny experience. That was where you had a really kind of a funny experience with Joe Pesci, wasn't it?
It was. The thing that made it so funny was... You know, I didn't have a lot of experience with Hollywood actors or stars or anything, and it was my first day, and I was trying to kind of fit in with the guys and do the right thing, and I basically ended up eating my foot or, you know, my shoe or whatever that expression is. I had Joe Pesci poking his cigar into my rib cage and telling me, you know, what an expletive I was because I don't know.
You didn't recognize his wife or something.
I did recognize his wife, but it turns out I'm not even sure if it was his wife anyway. You know, I mean, I was so mortified by the whole thing. I think I kind of missed the joke. But if you've seen the movie Casino, or I was on another interview the other day, and they were describing this movie where he bets on horses, and he like totally berates the jockey. I don't know if any of your audience, I haven't seen this movie, but they were laughing so hard because they said that scene reminded them of this, their favorite movie, you know, how he, you know, dresses down the jockey. And I was thinking, you know, yeah, that was me. I wasn't the jockey, I was the caddy, but it's the same thing. I had Joe Pesci, who's about 5'5". You know, right in my grill, and I've never felt so awkward being tall in my life.
Oh, man. John Dunn, our guest today, author of Loopers, A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. Having fun talking with him. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network as we talk about looping. And what is looping? Well, it's caddying. John Dunn wrote the book Loopers, A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. Having a great time talking with him. Certainly, if you have questions or comments or experiences to share, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. And John has had some wonderful experiences, not only with he's caddied for Bill Gates, for Arnold Palmer, for Kevin Costner. So he's caddied for people that you and I know right away. But he's also caddied for a lot of people who probably, you know, quote, quote, important people who none of us have ever heard of. And then he's probably, and I know he's also caddied for average hackers like most of us are. And so all of this comes together in his book. It's called Loopers again. And I guess the other part of it that I really like, the backstory, is the relationship with that John talks about with his father. And that is that part of it, I think, is was really touching for me. It must have been touching for you to write, John.
Yeah, it was the whole experience of the book coming out has been a little bittersweet. My dad passed away 4 years ago this month, and I know he would have been very proud. And, you know, it's probably a pretty common experience for fathers and sons, you know, to maybe butt heads a little bit. And my dad and I certainly did. He was born in 1931, so he was, you know, kind of a World War One kid, and you know, that generation, he wasn't like a really great communicator. You know, he was, he worked very hard, was kind of very traditional, believed in the brass tacks. That was one of his favorite expressions, the brass tacks. So I was the opposite, of course. I think I took after my mother more. I was, you know, loved, very footloose, kind of irresponsible. My room was always a mess. You know, I was, you know, always muddy and dirty and late and kind of, you know, one of those kids. And he didn't quite know what to do with me. So over the year, and I never really changed. That was the problem. I think he would have been fine with it if I'd, you know, shined up like a penny or whatever they say, one of those. I think he was waiting for that moment. It just never came. But in the end, you know, of course, illness has a way. He had unfortunately, pancreatic cancer, which is, that's one of the ones that I don't know what I almost feel like there's no recovery from that at all, even today.
Yeah.
So he did live for 2 years after he got it, which was wonderful for me. I know it was a hard time for him, but you know, illness has a way of putting things into perspective, reprioritizing things, and we both just kind of took our gloves off, or or put our dukes down, or however you want to say it, and just let each other in, and that was a wonderful experience. And I think then we started to kind of listen to each other and try to understand each other. And it was a wonderful 2 years, but it is a little bittersweet.
Don and Shawnel, let's turn to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you. Glad to hear this program. I have to buy the book. I caddied for 4 years. I started when I was 13 and caddied in Milwaukee at Triple I Country Club. And usually the best golfer to get from the club would be either one of the old guys who was about a 20 handicapper, or I had this wonderful little lady that would go off at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings. She carried only five clubs in her bag, and because I didn't laugh at her, she'd give me a huge tip, and so she'd ask for me every Sunday. But I think the year was 1960. They used to have the Miller Open at Triple I Country Club, and people like Carrie Middlecoff and Sam Snead and Billy Casper and Miller Barber were playing, and they used local caddies. And, in fact, my brother had Billy Casper, and because I was kind of young and just became an aide caddy, I got somebody who, after the first day, I knew wouldn't be around. But Billy Casper ended up finishing third, and my brother got $100 and a sleeve of golf balls. And we thought he was a millionaire. That was big money back then. So we got $5 for 18 holes. If you carried a double, you only got $7.50 plus whatever tip they give you. So it was a lot of hard work, but it was a lot of fun. It got me into the game of golf, and I still do it. I do it. In fact, I'm on my way to play with one of my sons now, and just love the game, and I appreciate anybody who caddies. So thank you for this show.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, that probably triggered a few memories for you, John, talking about some of the people that he golfed with or he caddied for. You had some similar experiences.
Well, that certainly, I thought I was going back, you know, to the mid-80s with the persimmon drivers and a lot of golf balls, but that's way back.
Yeah.
Great memory there.
Yeah, a great memory. Don, thank you very much for calling. Tim in Milwaukee, let's turn to you next. Hi, Tim.
Well, we're going to enjoy a little irony here because I became a caddy at age 45. I trained up at Whistling Straits with the idea that I was going to caddy there, but double bagging was just not in my I'm too old of a guy for that. And I went from there to Triple I Country Club.
Oh, where our last caller was caddy.
Yes, right. I was at the time. I held the record for the oldest caddy that they had, and also I was the worst golfer that they had had as a caddy.
Tim, thank you for calling. Well, at 45, I mean, you caddied with some guys, John, who were a lot older than that and who had actually caddied pretty much their whole life. And those were guys you really enjoyed being around.
Yeah, I even lived with a couple of them. Part of the fun of the book is also a lot of the places that I lived.
Yeah.
And you'll remember that one of them I call the Caddy Convent, and it was literally a convent before all the nuns died, and then they had to rent the room, so then it became the Caddy Convent. And two of the guys that I lived that were wonderful, Johnny O and the King, Dennis. Dennis was... I don't want to insult Dennis because I'm not sure exactly how old he was, but he struck me to be at least 65, if not 70. A wonderful guy. And Johnny O was maybe a little bit younger, but, you know, certainly much older than me, probably late 50s, let's say 60. And we'd hit balls in the field in the evening and hang out and, you know, in the yard, and they'd share stories from their whole lives. I mean, it was unbelievable being, I was in my late 20s then, and what a great experience to just to hear that all their stories and be around them all the time.
Well, and caddies, you know, it's a kind of a strange bunch, and or many of them at least. The fellow who dragged his sailboat around the country.
Who was it? John.
A caddy.
He's probably there's going to be a few people that are going to be a little miffed with me when this book comes out, I think.
Well, he it cost too much to moor the boat, so he just dragged it around and they'd go to a campground or something and
yeah, I met him in the desert, which is the oddest place to see a sailboat. We were camped next to a reservoir, which made the boat seem, you know, in proximity to water, but you weren't allowed to sail on the reservoir, so it was very odd. But there's something kind of romantic and like quintessentially catty about that. Like, you know, don't sail the boat, just pull it around and, you know, live on it. You kind of have to know caddies, I guess, to get that. But
well, those stories are really memorable stories from your book for sure. Mark in Princeton, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, and I'll tell you what, you know, if you're a kid and you have a clean room, I would begin to wonder about you. So I'm glad to hear from another guy who left this room a mess. I did a little caddying myself at Ozaukee Country Club in Mequon for a summer when I was back in high school. But I want to know from you, the first five courses that come to your mind in terms of a bucket list, if you could recommend that anybody should play these courses, what would they be?
Top five.
Wow, that's a tough, tough question. You know, the first thing I would say right away is you'd separate that list certainly into countries. And Ireland and Scotland, England is fantastic, but Ireland and Scotland specifically, Southwest Ireland, which is a place that I have not been. I played up around Dublin, which is spectacular as well, Portmarnock and the island. But down I've heard Ballybunion, Waterville, places down in the Southwest, and then up in Northern Ireland, you know, Royal County down. Port Stewart, and then in Scotland, of course, the Old Course, and you know, Turnberry, and I mean, I could just go on and on. So that would be my number one recommendation for anyone if they have not been to Ireland or Scotland, make that your trip. And then in the United States, I would say Bandon Dunes in Oregon, again, absolutely spectacular.
You do a wonderful job describing Bandon Dunes, and the beauty of it, but also from a golfer's point of view, I thought, oh man, what a wonderful place to try, especially if you've got somebody like you who got really knew the course and could tell people how to hit into the holes, hit into the fair, the greens.
Yeah, well, that, you know, it's interesting. Now, I was thinking about my response to the caller, and I immediately picked all links courses. Which there's probably a reason that I did. Being a caddy, links golf is, for those who may not know the difference, it's kind of a semantic difference, but technically links golf is just ground that is, it's seaside golf usually. It's ground that's much firmer, very undulating. There's usually wind involved, lots of sand. So the way the game plays, it's kind of a ground game. So there's a lot of bounces and breaks, and the wind really determines. I mean, you can hit a 9-iron as far as 200 yards in some cases, and maybe a 5-iron only 150 yards if you're going the other way. So there's just a lot of thinking and calculating, and as a caddy, that makes you more valuable, number one. But also there's a great deal of satisfaction not only hitting a good shot but having figured out the puzzle of the course and then hitting a good shot. It's like double pride, you know, the execution and the mental side of it.
And your story about a very good golfer, I think it was a 5 handicap, who wouldn't listen to you at first at Bandon.
Yeah, I only told one story. There were a few.
wouldn't listen to you at first, but finally came around to your view and then really scored very well. So
that was at Bandon Dunes, yeah. And that's a perfect example.
Anna in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. So I'm not a golfer, even though I love golf. I've never played. The closest I've gotten to a round of golf is having a friend who won a round on St. Andrews, and she and her friends were asked to leave because they were such horrible golfers. But the reason I'm actually calling is I wondered if you and or your guest are aware of the wonderful short stories by P.G. Woodhouse, and they all begin with the oldest living member. They're hilarious golf stories, and they're just great. And
I love those stories.
I do too.
I love them.
I highly recommend them to anybody, even if you don't like golf. I actually felt like I learned the game and my appreciation of it from reading those. And now I'm going to learn more from reading from your book. So thank you so much.
Right. Uh-oh, that's pretty, that's tough competition she's putting me up against there.
Yeah, P.G. Woodhouse is, well, yeah, they're wonderful, wonderful stories. We are talking, by the way, with John Dunn about his book, Loopers, A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. David and Madison coming up next, but you can join too if you have a question or comment. The number is 1-800-GOLF. 642-1234. Give us a call. David in Madison, thank you for calling.
Yes. Are there rules or standards that you have to follow when you caddy for someone?
Okay. Rules or standards that you follow when you caddy for someone?
Yes. Quite a few, although they do vary from person to person because, you know, it's what one person will enjoy, you know, or consider a positive thing another person might not like at all. So, for example, talking a lot, which is one of my fortes, obviously, that can work for you and it can work against you. So, you know, in addition to just the basic etiquette, with golf is a very, obviously all golfers know this, it's probably to people who don't play golf seems ridiculously complicated with all the rules and the etiquette and everything. So that's number one. But then, you know, they say golf is 90% psychological. Well, caddying is 90% psychological too, in that you really have to read your player and kind of figure out how much information he wants, how much he wants you to talk, like, you know, all those things. So yeah, it's a very delicate profession.
Yeah, definitely is. And you pointed out the difference, I think in your second chapter, I think you talked about earlier, where you were actually dealing with somebody who was really good and played the front nine with a certain set of clubs and then are at a certain distance, and then you, without asking, pull out a club on the back nine or the next round or whatever. And he said, well, no, that's not the club I would use. And you said, well, that's what you used, you know, for that distance the first round. But he said, but I was only hitting at 80%, you know, which most people, 80% versus 90 or versus 100%.
You know, it's funny when I look back. I mean, that literally, that's part of the book. You know, my memory is very sharp, but I'm sure some of the dialogue or so forth isn't exactly as it happened in the book. But that dialogue, I promise you, it was one of the most vivid experiences of my life. And everything he said, like, we're going to vanquish these guys and you know, don't ever, you know, pull my clubs for me. And, you know, just all the quotes from George Zeringer, I've never forgotten them. I mean, he really, that was an initiation, so to speak.
Oh, man. John and Cashton, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. What can you tell us?
Well, it's been a long time, and I was a caddy in the 50s.
Byron Nelson.
Wow.
I caddied for him twice. He was in Madison. He was at the Maple Bluff Golf Course for an exhibition or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that was a memory that I had. But I caddied 53, 54 to Maple Bluff Country Club.
And I have to say, thank you very much, John, for calling. Byron Nelson, it was not the only big name, well-known golfer to come and play the Maple Bluff Country Club. It is a very beautiful, it's private club, but it is a very beautiful course. For sure. Pauline, thank you for calling. Pauline in Lake Forest, Illinois, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Interesting program. I'm not a golfer, but I'm interested in caddies because there is an Evans Scholarship program.
Yes, Chick Evans.
Yes, and no one has mentioned that, and it's such a great opportunity for young people who have, you know, a lot of talent, intelligence, but really deep financial need. And it's just something for young people to be worth pursuing.
I wanted to bring that up today because I've had three I'm a professor at the UW, and I've had, as well as this program host, and I've had three Chick Evans scholars I've been fortunate enough to teach. And virtually every one of them said they just by chance found out about the scholarship. So if your child, son or daughter, has ever caddied, they could be eligible for, I'm telling you, a full boat, full ride, scholarship and housing for 4 years. It's unbelievable.
We had our Evans Scholar House. I went to University of Colorado. It was nicer than almost any of the fraternity houses, and I used to hang out there all the time because, you know, I played golf with the guys, but they had like a foosball table and a ping pong table and a pool table. I mean, it was like the lap of luxury over there. So definitely.
Yeah, we have an Evans Scholar House at the UW-Madison campus. So it's it really is a fantastic. I'm saying to parents and grandparents, if you've got a son or a daughter out there caddying, I hope you will click on or find Evans Scholars, go online, and you know, who knows? Maybe things will work out really well for you. Well, if you are you still caddying? By the way, still looping, John?
I haven't in the last couple of years. I've been writing the book,
yep.
And that's a full time job. And fortunately, I got a publisher, so I was able to afford to write the book.
Yep.
But you never know. hopefully, all of your audience will buy it, and maybe I'll be able to take another year to write.
I'm telling you, I'm so sorry we didn't have we're running out of time here. And these great story about working with Bill Gates and your conversations with him and with Arnold Palmer was very touching, and all of the great stories are just wonderful, John. I had really enjoyed reading the book, and I think, is he going to write another one now, or what are you going to do?
I am. I've already started writing it. It's you may be familiar with it because you've read the book there, but at the end when I did that cross-country hitchhiking trip.
Oh, I wondered if you were going to, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's got wonderful stories, and Wisconsin's in that, actually. Madison was my midpoint, and I flew home to Connecticut for my dad's 77th birthday from Madison, and that was the halfway point of my trip. So,
did you play the University Ridge Golf Course in Madison?
You know, I didn't. I wanted to. With hitchhiking, you're at the whim of where people take you. But I did end up in Hartford, and I played Erin Hills.
Ah! Well, you played a very nice course.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful course. And if you get back to Madison, come see me, and we'll play the University Ridge together.
I'll take you up on that.
I'm still on their board, so on their oversight.
I've heard it's a great course. My friend Katie Preve played for for Wisconsin. She was like a all Big Ten or something. Yeah. Wonderful player.
Well, so keep that in the back of your mind, and next book out we'll have to have another chat, if not before. Thanks, John.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, John. John Dunn is the author of Loopers, A Caddy's 20-Year Golf Odyssey. A fun book to read, whether you're a golfer or even not. He joined us from the studios of KPBS in San Diego, California. He's a California guy right now. And, you know, one thing about playing golf, this last week I had great weather the whole week in Saskatchewan. And maybe it's because of the weather guys. They're looking at me right now.
You're welcome. It's because of us. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
When the weather's good, we'll take credit.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to be here to answer your questions coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.